Well, here we are, backside or other side of the Sermon on the Mount. Take a deep breath. We finished that. After 7 months of walking through the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that jumped out to me, I don't know what jumped out to you guys, but one of the things that jumped out to me was this reality that we are now citizens of a new kingdom, and as citizens, we have a new way of living life. And Jesus wrapped up, as we saw last week, he wraps the whole Sermon on the Mount up with basically, essentially, hey, here's my words, go do them, right? He said, hear the word and go do it. And that involves not just Matthew 5 through 7, right? As people who are now citizens of this kingdom, who love God and love Jesus and want to glorify God and see his name in this earth, we want to obey his words. Right, we want to live out his call in our lives, and his words include Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, the end, he says, "Go and make disciples." So that's part of Jesus' words that we're called to live out. Right. So, the next few weeks or couple months until Easter, this is what we're going to be walking through. What does it look like to live out this call in our lives as citizens in this new kingdom, making disciples? And today and next week, the next 2 weeks, will be kind of revolved around this idea of mission, living out our lives on mission. And then we're going to go through a short series for the last few weeks before Easter on family discipleship. And so we're going to kind of look at what it looks like to be a church that really lives out this call. So that's where we're going. But first, today, we're going to dive into this idea of missions. And we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle. And I think it's an angle that is very critical and very important, and it's close to the heart of God. I think it's an angle that we need to really highlight at times. And this idea of mission that is important to God, it should be important to us, is this idea of caring for orphans or adoption. Right? That's the angle we're going to take today. So before you get all squirmy in your seats or start to check out because you think, hey, that's not for me. You know, I know people that have adopted or maybe that are adopting or are caring for orphans. I know that that's part of it, but that's not my thing. I want to tell you this morning, if you're sitting in here today and you are a part of the body of Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, this has everything to do with you. Everything. Adoption has everything to do with you. All of us have a stake in this matter. Every one of us. If we're in the body and we're part of the church, global church, God's church, this is our call. Because the truth is, here it is, adoption is not charity. As Russell Moore put it, adoption is warfare. It's a fight for life. And it's not just adoption of children, those adopted children, that's a fight for life. Being a parent, having our own biological children is a fight, right? It's warfare. Psalm 127, verse 3. The psalmist writes, "Behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. A fruit of the womb is a reward." Some translations, that word heritage, they put blessing or gift. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, as much as a gift and a blessing that children may be, the reality is parenting is a sacrifice. Right? You parents, parenting takes sacrifice. It involves giving of yourself, your time, your money, your attention, your efforts. But yet, how often do we take these blessings, right, gifts that God has given us, and we grumble about them? How often do we take the blessing of the Lord, and not all the time, but sometimes view it as a curse? I don't know if you parents have ever said, man, I just want to pull my hair out. Parenting is hard. It's a sacrifice. See, children, here's why. Children disrupt our lives. They disrupt our plans. We have plans and desires for our lives, but children come into the mix and things get a little disrupted. Even those that actually plan to have children, their great plan in life is to be a parent and have kids. Even after that fact, they realize that there are moments that life is disrupted because of those kids. Like that night that you really wanted to sleep all through the night, and the child had other plans. They decided otherwise for you, right? Or how about the time you were supposed to teach Sunday school or pre-game class, and your daughter has a fever and you can't do it? Disrupted your life. See, it happens over and over again. The list goes on. See, parenting children is a sacrifice, and it's a call that pulls us out of ourselves and into a new world of responsibility for another. Right? Parenting calls us to be responsible for another, shaping their lives, caring for them, shaping their futures for the glory of God. That's a fight. That's not easy. But isn't this what the body of Christ is called to? To lay down our lives for others? To get out of ourselves? To help shape others for the glory of God? See, most of you, or many of you, and I'll confess, I was in this boat prior to really diving into this and studying this out. When you think of adoption, you probably don't equate it with mission. I didn't. See, when you say missions, first thing that probably comes to mind, I know there's some really holy people in here that's not, but the first thing that probably comes to mind is getting on a plane and going overseas. You say, oh, we go to missions. Okay, we're going to get on a plane, we go to some African country or some Asian country, and we're going to tell people with some other language with a translator about Jesus, or maybe we're going to go dig a water well, or maybe we're going to go have a block party, sorry Chris, right, and we're going to hand out tracts, or maybe if you've lived here with us long enough and you've been a part of our family here at Christ Church, maybe you think mission is, well, I'm going to walk across the street and knock on my neighbor's door and invite them over to my house, have dinner with them. That's what you think mission. And some of you, whenever you say hear the word adoption, kind of you think this other picture, right? When I say adoption, your mind goes to, okay, go to Russia to some orphanage, or go to Africa to some orphanage, or maybe do foster care, or maybe you know some family or friend who has been adopted, and you think adoption, that's adoption, right? Most likely, you think of children who need homes. So you have missions and adoption, and most of the time, for most of us, those two don't really go hand in hand. But here's what I hope to do today. I want to look first at the theology of adoption, or I'm going to call it adoption as gospel. And then I want to take a look at adoption as mission, and then kind of bring it home with how that informs and empowers us to live our lives, the adoption of children. So the most common thought we have when the word adoption is mentioned is viewed on the horizontal plane, right? It's kids that need a home. Children who don't have parents, who need parents, or we can reverse that, a husband and a wife who don't have children, then want to go get children. Horizontal plane. Well, the Apostle Paul, we'll see here in just a minute, he takes this legal practice of adoption on the horizontal plane within his culture at that time, and he uses this word, the word that means adoption on the horizontal plane, and he takes it and he applies it in the scriptures, and he applies this theological understanding to it. He creates it a vertical plane. God and man. And that's where I think so much of us in the church, we fall short of this understanding of adoption. See, I believe that if we as the church first and foremost began to think of vertical adoption, when you hear the word adoption, is the first thing that came to your mind as a believer in Christ was vertical, not horizontal. I think it would give us a deeper and richer understanding of the gospel at large. And it would propel us into a deeper and richer communion with God the Father. And I think it could even move us to a greater missional engagement in the world. John 14:18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come for you. What beautiful, beautiful good news that is, right? I won't leave you as orphans. I will come for you. Encouraging words. Jesus isn't going to leave us. He's going to come for us. But I think sometimes with the enjoyment of the gospel truth of this verse, we can miss what's implied here. We can get caught up in Jesus is going to come for us, and we can miss the implication that Jesus calls us orphans. Did you catch that? I won't leave you as what? Orphans. He calls us, spiritually speaking, the fatherless. The implication of the verse is that we are the ones who cannot care for ourselves. We're the ones who have been discarded. We're the ones who have experienced loss. We're the ones who've been left alone. We're the ones who have been exposed to fraud and injustice. And in short, we need rescue and help. We're orphans. Our sin, Genesis 3, thank you. Our sin has estranged us, separated us, and removed us from our true home with our true Father. See, the remedy in this verse, Jesus says, is what? Jesus. The gospel. The Father making effort to send Jesus for us and to us. So that's what... I'll finish that off because I have another one. That's what this entire book is about. Right here. We know it's a grand story of redemption, right? We could say that all the time. We talk about redemption all the time. Redemption. This is a great story of redemption. But it's also really a grand story of adoption. And that being the case, if we look at it from that perspective, that this is a story of adoption, that we are all orphans. So outside of Christ, that makes the world that we live in what? A giant orphanage. An orphanage filled with men and women and children all over the world who are fatherless. Parentless. In desperate need of a new family. But if we're going to be honest, we don't like to think in those terms sometimes, right? We don't like to view ourselves as people in need. People who are dependent. But to understand the full gravity of vertical adoption, I think we first need to see ourselves as orphans. We need to have that realization that we are in need of a Father. And then, when we can grab hold of that, how beautiful the work of the Father in adoption shines forth. How much more brighter does it shine when we see God for the Father who came to rescue us. God's story, the story in the Bible, is a story of adoption, and it's the story of a Father sending His true and eternal Son on mission into a far orphanage to bring wayward, estranged, rebellious, lost, and forgotten children back into His family for His glory. What a beautiful story. And how much more complete does it make the story, right? The Apostle Paul is the only writer in the Bible that uses this word adoption. And he uses it 5 times. It's mentioned 5 times in 4 different passages. We just read it in Romans 8. It's mentioned again in Romans 9. And we're going to look at 2 more, Ephesians 1 and Galatians 4. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He," pay attention here, "chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." in love, he predestined us for what? Adoption. As sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. At a passing glance, you can read that and think, that's wonderful, that's amazing. God predestined us to be adopted, that's awesome, it's Jesus. But what you miss is adoption was always God's purpose. It's his will. And this is the crazy part. It was done before one molecule was ever created. He predestined us to be adopted as his beloved children before anything else. Before sun and moon, before earth and sky, before plants, animals, birds, planets, galaxies, before the Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 hovered over the waters in the darkness. Adoption. It was in his heart. It was his plan. Adoption predates the universe itself. The only thing bigger, the only thing that existed before adoption was the triune God himself. The eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect love, dwelling together in perfect love. And it's in that perfect love, by that perfect love, through that perfect love, Paul says, that adoption came forth. In love, he predestined us for adoption. The next verse in Galatians 4. Paul says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that, here it is, why did God do this? So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir through God. This verse is why adoption is gospel. It's good news. Adoption is the grand purpose of redemption. See, we were redeemed, right? It says we were redeemed, we were bought, we were purchased, so that we might receive adoption. The purchase of our lives by the blood of Christ was in order that we would become children of God. Redemption is not the end of God's work of grace. Adoption is. Did you see that? Adoption is the end result of God's plan. And that's what I said earlier, how beautiful and complete that makes this whole picture of redemption. When you add adoption to it, if God just set us free and redeemed us and we are no longer slaves, then what? We're just there, free, running around, woohoo! But God, in his beautiful, sovereign providence and love, says, no, I'm going to make you a part of my family. Not just setting us free, but bringing us into the loving protection, the unending gladness of his family. Adoption means that he makes room for us in his perfect triune love and being. And it means that he delights in us just as much as he delights in his own son, Jesus. The word adoption that Paul uses literally means to place as a son. So to be adopted as sons means that we get every part of the inheritance. Every part. Paul, both writing to men and women, says, you will be adopted as sons. That means there are no limitations to the inheritance you receive. And what's even better is that Paul says, you will be adopted, you will be placed in my family as a son, in the Son, Jesus, the eternal Son, the perfect Son. So now we're placed in the family in Jesus. So that means that all the rights that Jesus has as the eternal and perfect Son are ours. Direct access to the Father. Intimate communion with the Father. And the internal inheritance of the Father are all ours because of our adoption as sons in Christ. That's gospel. That's great news. So how is adoption mission? So the gospel, we would all agree, is central to the mission of God. Right? Without the gospel, you can't have the mission of God. So in other words, gospel leads to mission. The good news of Jesus propels us not only to declare what he's done, right? Speak out and declare it. But as we've just learned from the Sermon on the Mount in the past 7 months, is that we're called to live it out. Right? There's a change and transformation in our lives, the way we live. Mission is both declaring the words and works of Jesus and doing in the world what he has commanded us to do. So it's speaking out and doing it. So however many of us, let me rephrase that. However you may view the word mission, however you may view or think of this idea of living missionally or living on mission, we can come to different views there, right? But we cannot disagree upon God's mission. He had one mission, and it's crystal clear. He came to earth to live and to die, to redeem and to adopt sons and daughters into his family for his glory. That's his mission. That's what he did. As we saw in John 14:8, prior to being adopted into his family, we were what? Orphans. Right? We had our own way of life. We were living our own pleasures in this orphanage. Sometimes it was kind of a terrible orphanage. Sometimes we may have think it was like a great orphanage. But the way we lived within this life was revolving around us. Titus 3 says we are slaves to the flesh, disobedient, hating others, and being hated by others. Right? That's kind of the life we lived. Revolved around us. You could say, prior to Christ, our family business was our glory. Performing the works of the flesh. That was our family business, right? It's what drove our lives. But now, thanks be to God, we're adopted into a new family. We're adopted into God's family, which means what? We have a new family business. Right? We have a new family business. And because of that, or along with that, we have a new name. We have a new identity. It's no longer about who we are, but about who he is. It's no longer about what we've done, but about what he's done. And now our family business is no longer about our glory and our name. It's about his glory and his name. We have something new that drives our lives. And there are a few things, I think, that hinder us from living out this family business. But I think there's one thing primary above all else that can hinder us from how we live out the family business. And that's not understanding our place in the family. When you don't know who you are in the family, you're not going to know how to live out the family business, right? So that uncertainty at times, we struggle with it. Don't really know who we are in the family. Are we a part of the family or not? And I think that uncertainty sometimes is rooted in a doubt of God's love for you personally. There's a story in the Bible called the prodigal son, or the two sons, right? Most of you probably heard it. But part of that story, the younger son, he's coming back to the father. And he doesn't consider himself worthy to even be called a son. And his actions may have proven that. But the reasoning for his self-pity and his focus of not thinking he can be a son is because he's consumed with his own self. He's saturated. His eyes are fixed upon his past experiences. All that he's done, that's what he sees. He's like, I've done all of this stuff, therefore I'm not worthy to be called a son. Or maybe he's just saturated and stuck in and can't get out of his own guilt and shame for what he's done. He doesn't see the Father. He doesn't see what's before him. He only sees what's behind him. See, when our eyes are fixed upon our own failures and our past, or the current guilt and shame, we will always doubt God's love. But when we turn our eyes from that and we fix them upon Christ, we fix them upon the Father who, according to that story, shamed himself and ran wholeheartedly when we were far off to us. You cannot doubt the love of the Father for you. When you look and you see what God has done and is doing for you every day, you can't doubt his love for you. So your relationship with God is not based upon your wages or your efforts or the things you've done. It's not because of what you've done. Your relationship with the Father is grace and grace alone, unmerited favor, undeserved love. That's what your adoption is based upon. God goes and gets you. God goes and gets us. That's the family business. He goes into a far country and he gives himself freely to us in order to bring us back into his family. That's the family business. Bringing orphans into the family, spiritually and physically. This is why an understanding of adoption vertically, right? This is why I think it empowers us to mission. Because we see what the family business is all about. We see our place in the family. And now we know how to live that call out. The more an adopted son or daughter understands their place in the family, the more free they will be to live within that family business. Wholeheartedly. Now earlier I said that this topic affects all of us. We all have a stake in this game or a dog in the fight, so to speak, right? Well, here's why I think this. We as a church have a responsibility in the war to fight for the lives of children. And here's what I mean by war. There are powers and principalities, as Paul says, that we cannot see and do not see in this world every day, all around us, who devote every ounce of energy. In fact, it's their only aim in life, if they even have a life, to keep God from getting glory and to keep his family from growing. They will do everything in their power to keep that from happening. They would rather we find our identity, our inheritance, our mission in earthly, fleshly things rather than the Spirit of life himself, rather than in God himself. So as believers, when we bring children into our homes, whether we give birth to them or we adopt them into, we bring children into our homes, when we make them our sons and our daughters, it gives them a chance to hear the gospel. And the gospel is what brings them into the family. That's war. This is our mission. This is why adoption is mission. And this is why adoption is warfare. So regardless, I know some of you here are sitting here, great, here we go. What does that mean? I want to say this. Regardless of whether or not you ever adopt a child or children, as part of Jesus' church, we have a call to live out the Great Commission. We could all agree upon that. Right? We have a call to go and make disciples. That's our call. But what if, since adoption is a part of that call, adoption is a part of the Great Commission, making disciples, bringing them into the family, putting them in a position to hear the gospel of Jesus, is part of that Great Commission. What if we here at Christ Church had a reputation for fighting for the fatherless? What if we did? What if we were known as a people who truly cared for orphans by making them beloved sons and daughters? Now, whether you open your home or your family to a child in need, you can help. You have a role. You can wrap your own arms around those children who have been adopted. You can pray for them. You can love them. You can serve those families. You can share your lives with other foster families and adopted families. Get into their lives. Get to know them. Help them. Find out what they need. You can share the gospel with these children that come in. There's all different ways that we as a body can fight for the fatherless. Now, as a church, our ultimate purpose in adopting horizontally, like I said, is not just to give orphans parents. As great as that is, orphans need parents, but that's not our primary purpose. It's to bring them into the global family, the church family, so that they would be positioned to know Jesus. So that they could know what a true family is all about. And when we do this, when we live this way, how beautiful of a picture of the gospel that is to the world. Those that are lost, those that are unloved, those that don't have parents, those that are despised, those that are rejected, all of those out there, the world sees us say, hey, we want them. We, the church, want them. What a beautiful picture to the world of the gospel. Now I'm going to take a little sidestep here, and I want to talk to you men for just a second. Parenting is not just a woman's job. Parenting is not just a woman's game. Now, throughout, you've heard it in the scripture. It was written in Psalms. You've heard me say it, this word fatherless. And I think that word fatherless is there to kind of point to the picture that, hey, we need the true father. We're all without the father, and we need the father. But what I've experienced in my short time of doing foster care, these children that I've seen come in, children that you see in orphanages, yeah, they have a mom, and a mom gives birth to them, and for whatever reason, the mom can't take care of them, but these kids don't have dads. It's so easy to look at a mom who did drugs and gave birth to a child and say, what's wrong with you? How can't you take care of your child? Why do you not love your child? It's one thing to say, oh, this mom, she can't get a job. Her life's messed up and she can't take care of a child. Say, what's wrong with you? You can't take care of your child. And my heart is, what's wrong with you, dads? Why can't you take care of your children? I'm sorry. Fatherless. Leave the mom alone. And it's not just in that world. I've seen dads of biological children who have shied away from their parenting, that have pulled back. And you know what? That parenting, that's a woman's game. And these are men that are tough men and men that would say, you know what, football, it's a full contact sport. And not women don't need to be involved in that. Being a dad is a full contact sport. I've been poked in the eye, headbutted, and kicked in places I don't want to be kicked more times than I can count being a dad. It's full contact. It's a man's game. These children need fathers. They need men who will stand up, who follow Christ, and say, I believe in the true Father, who are willing to sacrifice their lives, give up of themselves, lay themselves down, just as the Father did, and set an example of faithfulness and love for these kids. All children need that. We live in a culture that praises individuality, doesn't it? Values comfort, promotes self above all else, just saturated in our culture. Now, what better way to fight against that culture than to go out of our way to add children to our lives? Right? I said earlier, children disrupt our lives, don't they? They disrupt us. They change the course of our lives. But when we make efforts to add children into our lives of our own accord, say, yeah, we want them, how countercultural is that? Of a culture that says, no, just we'll do anything to push children out of our way, to get kids out of our lives. How countercultural is it to say, we want them. We want them. This is my hope for this church. This is my hope for Christ Church Kingwood, that we would have a culture of selfless, life-giving, war-fighting, eyes fixed upon Christ, people who are willing to take a risk. My hope is to see all of Christ Church community take ownership of this. To be a community who deeply values the fatherless because God Himself does. Now, caring for orphans is not just a ministry for a select few, it's for all of us. Some of us in here will adopt, okay? I know there's some squirming going on. I'll just ease that a little bit. Some will adopt in here. I believe it. There's others of you who are going to finance those adoptions. You're going to help people adopt. Some of you in here, I believe it, and I hope for it, are going to foster. Others in here, you're going to go get certified and do what you need to do to help those foster families. Some of you are just going to pray and encourage, gospel encouragement for those families that are doing it, and saying, we're here as a part of the family with you. Some of you may even get on a plane, pack up your stuff, and fly to another culture and live out the call in another context. But whatever the case, we're all in this together. This is our call. Since we started foster care, we've heard this phrase a lot, and it's funny, going into it, I heard people say I was going to hear this phrase, and I was like, yeah, that's funny, but I've actually heard this phrase a lot. Say, oh, I could never do that. I could never love a child in that way only to have them pulled away from me. Nah, there's no way, man. You're a blessing. That's amazing. Whew. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I could never do it either. In my own flesh, I could never do it. And it hit me, what a self-centered statement that is. Because the reality is, in ourselves, we can't do it. But as God's children, we can. My question in thinking about this is, why not? Well, I can't do it in my flesh either. But in God's grace, I'm doing it, so why not? Why can't you do it? What are you protecting yourself from and saying, I can't do that? Is it grief? Is it pain? Is it sorrow? Is it hurt? Is it depression? Is it fear? Are those the things you want to protect yourself from? Well, you know what? We've experienced them all. And God has sustained us through it. And is to this day still sustaining us through it. Sure, you may guard yourself against these things by not adopting or not fostering. You may. But what are you missing out on? On the other side of that coin, what are you missing out on? The chance to love? Love is costly. Love takes risk. Love has the potential for deep hurt. If you wish to avoid the risk of being hurt, here's my answer to you. Don't adopt. If you want to avoid the risk of being hurt, don't foster. Don't care for the orphans and the widows and the lost and the hurting. And you know what? You probably shouldn't have children at all. if you want to avoid the risk of being hurt, you probably actually shouldn't even get married. You probably shouldn't have any friends. You probably should just go find a safe place in your house, you know, a safe room or a safe or whatever, and hide yourself from the world. See, the only way you can protect yourself from the possibility of being hurt is by walling yourself up from just loving at all. But adoption love, the love we're talking about here, because it's gospel, it's not selfish, self-centered love. Adoption love is willing to die. God so loved the world that he gave himself. Adoption love is willing to die. That's gospel love. That's lavish love. That's prodigal love. That's God's love. And as his children, that's our family business. That's our love. You guys pray with me.